Rumpole and the Right to Privacy by John Mortimer, with Timothy West as Horace Rumpole and Prunella Scales as his wife, Hilda.
Please, Rumpole, don't whistle at breakfast.
Oh, sorry, Hilda. I just feel unexpectedly cheerful. It must be the smell of the toast.
I'm trying to read my newspaper.
Don't let me stop you.
Full of people's private lives.
It usually is.
There's no one, Rumpole, to be allowed to lead a private life anymore. I told them on my bridge club, they just won't leave anyone alone. Everything has to get into the papers.
You mean we're to expect headlines in the tabloids? Hilda Rumpole bids four hearts, full story in the Sun?
I know you like to make a joke of everything, but things are getting serious when I'm actually rung up by a journalist. He wanted to know all about you, Rumpole.
Really? What did he want to know?
All about the life of a well-known criminal barrister. What you did in your spare time, for instance.
Did you tell him that I spent my evening enjoying recreational drugs in the company of lap dancers?
Certainly not. I said it was absolutely no business of his, and you didn't want anything written about you in the papers. You don't, do you, Rumpole?
Didn't I? I had, I'm afraid, felt a little thrill of pleasure as she who must uttered the words well-known criminal barrister. It was not, of course, entirely unexpected. Since several recent successful cases, my fame had spread far beyond the Equity Court and the Old Bailey, so I would not have objected forcefully to a well-written profile in some respectable broadsheet, headlined The Great Defender, no doubt with a photograph or mercifully drawn caricature. I could imagine the frisson of jealousy at the next chamber's meeting, tinged with gratitude for what I'd done for the image of the Old Bailey hack.
Rumpole, you don't want anything written about you in the papers, do you?
Well, it would rather depend on how it was done.
It wouldn't depend on that at all, Rumpole. There are no circumstances in which I'd allow journalists into our mansion flat to sneer at our furniture, make fun of our knick-knacks. Privacy is sacred, Rumpole. I'm sure you agree.
Up to a point, is what I might have said. But to save time and for the avoidance of controversy, I kept it to... You're quite right, Hilda.
Of course I'm right. I told this journalist, aren't there enough wars and natural disasters without you having to come worrying us for something to put in your paper?
So, not being a war or natural disaster, I reconciled myself to the status of a member of the newspaper-buying public who never gets profiled or caricatured or mentioned unless he becomes involved in a salacious scandal or features as the victim of a violent crime. These thoughts were uppermost in my mind at that moment, not only because of what Hilda told me, but because I'd become involved in a case about the denial of human rights and the protection of the privacy of a very rich man indeed.
You do invasion of privacy cases, don't you, Mr. Rumpole?
Invasion of privacy? Yes, of course. It's my daily bread, if you'll pardon the expression. I was speaking with my client, Mr. Rankin, editor of a local paper, The Chivering Argus. He was a small, bird-like man, bright eyes and a head cocked to one side, who sat up very straight with his arms folded, as though he'd just fluttered down and alighted on the edge of the chair opposite. Well, now, whose privacy have you been invading?
Sir Mike Smedley. You'll know about him, of course.
I'm afraid I've never heard of the fellow.
Oh, born of a poor family in Birmingham. Pulled himself up by his bootstraps. Started in second-hand cars. Then he decided more people needed sleep than needed cars. So he started Smedley's Slumberwell Beds. He promised nights of pure delight. He made a fortune. So he moved out of Birmingham and bought a country house in Chivering.
I understand from your solicitor that you never really got on with him, did you, Mr. Rankin?
He wanted to buy our little local paper, and he got quite angry when I refused to sell. He tried to bribe me with more money and threatened to close us down.
I think I remember him now. Wasn't he the fellow who said schools should teach life skills and not Shakespeare? Sounds to me like someone who ought to have his privacy invaded.
Thank you, Mr. Rumpole. That's just the view we took.
Which part of his privacy did you invade, exactly?
Oh, a photograph of Sir Mike in a fairly compromising position appeared in the Argus, Mr. Rumpole. They're asking for huge damages, enough to bankrupt the paper.
And your motive for publishing the offending photograph?
We wanted to embarrass him. I'll freely admit that. Our way of getting our own back, so our readers could have a laugh at Sir High and Mighty Mike, the local celebrity who thinks everything's for sale.
You're saying you published the photograph just to get a laugh?
Yes, but that, and with a brassy ear on his head. I mean, can you imagine what the chap at the Stock Exchange would say?
I can. Yes, I was beginning to get the message.
Completely
the editor was going to prove a highly unsatisfactory witness.